This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of In Focus, heard weekends on KTBB 97.5 FM and KRWR, the Team 92.1 FM. You can join us each week as we interview those who help Tyler and Longview residents make their lives better. As always, you can reach out with your thoughts on the show or any topic you would like us to consider airing at ktbb.com/infocus. You can also catch us at a new time on KTBB, and it's 11:30 a.m. on 97.5. My guest today is Vanessa Olson and Elijah Reinick, both with Therapet. Did I butcher it? Alicia?
Alicia. You're not the first. It's okay.
That's what I do, and I'm not going to edit that out because it's comic relief.
You won't be the last. There you go.
Right. There you go. So you are one of my favorite interviews.
Yay.
I am a pet person, as is our owner, as is you can see everyone in our place. So welcome, both of you. You are in a friendly environment.
Well, we love coming and hanging out with y'all. So love KTBB. Love Paul.
Paul's got bestowed a major honor. I'll show you after me. Nathaniel Morin gave him a congressional
medal of something.
I'm sorry, Paul. I'm too stupid to know exactly what it is. I apologize, Mr. Gleiser. But it was a huge award. He is going to be inducted into the Texas Radio Hall of Fame.
Oh, very cool. That's awesome. Yeah. Well-deserved.
But that's enough time for him on this show. Okay. So, Therapet, the pet guest today is Ruby. And Ruby is what breed?
Ruby is an Akita mix. She's half Akita, and I say half East Texas mix.
And she had cards with her, like little baseball cards. I left mine out front. So she was a rescue, right?
Correct.
Let's start there.
Okay.
I've never been a fan of getting a pet, like at Petland or whatever. No offense to not trying to run a business, but this is the name I picked. As opposed to going and finding an animal that needs you. Or that needs help.
Right.
Can you lay people's concerns and fears aside for rescue animals?
Sure. So Ruby's rescue story is a little unconventional. I didn't go to a rescue to look for a dog. I was working in my office, and I saw a white flash go by my window. I have a ground floor office and a long window. And I actually work in Overton at the Texas A&M AgriLife Research and Extension Center. And so it's on a farm-to-market road. There is some traffic, but it's out in the country, so to speak, in Overton. And I checked with one of the farm crew guys if it was his dog. He's had dogs. And he said, no, but we've seen that dog running up and down 3053 for 3 days. And she was following the farm crew out to the fields and back. And so it was February. It was raining and cold. And so I wasn't gonna leave her just out there and to potentially get hit by a car. So I went out there and very easily made friends with her. It happened to be donut day, so that was, enticing for her to come to me. She was very sweet. So I just brought her into my office, and she laid on my office floor for the rest of the day. And I texted a picture over to my husband, and I said, I'm bringing her home. I knew that if she didn't work out with the dog we already had, then I would find her a home if it didn't work out for us to keep her. But it did, and she's been great. Obviously, I had her fully vetted and checked out, make sure she was healthy and okay. And I just couldn't leave her out there to potentially get hit by a car or something else happened to her. And so I'm always a big advocate for rescuing. I prefer mixed breeds personally myself. She has an excellent temperament. She's very calm. I mean, right now she's just sleeping here on the floor. Doesn't matter what else is going on. And so majority of my life I've always had rescues or mutts, so to speak.
They are the best. I mean, the inbreeding has just caused so much hip dysplasia and so much. And I think the last purebred I got was a Brittany. and they all last like 10 years and they're gone. You know, they're here and they're gone. And so I've always preferred a mix or mutt, whatever. I'm a mix, so why should I have a dog
that's right.
a purebred, you know?
Right.
So when real quick, because I don't want to get, I want this to be about TheraPet, but I also have some natural questions. So I live kind of between the Azalea District and the Charnwood District over there, and we have a lot of pets that get loose because there's a lot of people that walk their pets, a lot of people.
Right.
So two things I wanted to discuss with you guys are leashes, like your thoughts on leashes, and also when we see a pet in a situation, like I drove to work the other day and I saw an extremely old dog just standing in a yard wanting to cross the street. And so obviously that dog had a home. You know, it was just, it wasn't beautiful without, I mean, but if you're gone for a couple of days, I'm telling you, humans, if you don't get a bath for a couple of days and you run around in the hot heat, you're going to look terrible. But it was an older dog, and I just could not get the dog to come to me, and I was scared that if I pressed it, then it would make a quick move and possibly put itself in peril. For those of us who love animals, what's the best thing to do when we see a dog in need?
I think it just depends on the situation. And this is a good opportunity to tell people, microchip your dogs. Mm-hmm. It's such a low cost, even sometimes free, if you watch for it in the community. And vets have the ability of checking a dog. So if you ever find what you believe is a stray, you can take them to a vet that has the ability to read the microchip. And another reminder with that, if you have your dog microchipped, if you've ever moved, make sure you update your information, your contact information, phone number with that service so that if they reach you, they find you. Yeah.
Well, just he's going to hate that I do this. Paul's peeking in from the window to see the dog.
That's and so all he hilarious. Sees is the
no,
humans.
He's not going to ruin my show. He wouldn't want me to do this. This is already unprofessional just mentioning it, but I had to. That's how much he loves dogs.
Yeah. But so that's just a good reminder, but it really depends on the scenario, and there's no tried and true, you know, formula for that. I've been faced with that as well and had to finally, I saw a dog crossing Broadway in the midst of crazy traffic. And I tried to keep turning my car around and go back, and inevitably the dogs crossed the road again. So I finally just was like, I've got to let this be because it's getting unsafe for me to be doing this. It just really depends. But I think the burden falls on the owner. You're the family member and the caregiver of that animal, and it's a serious decision to get a dog, any sort of pet. It's a
Thank
commitment.
You.
It's a lifelong commitment. Shouldn't be done flippantly at all.
Yeah, nothing pisses me off when I read I'm moving and I need to get rid of my dog. It's all I can do not to text something really horrible to ruin their day.
Yes. And, Christmas is coming, so this is a reminder, too. It is a lifelong commitment. It's easy to fall into the Christmas spirit, and you want to get your kiddos a puppy. And so kind of along with our rescue concept, I'd say well over half of the TheraPets are rescues, even the full-blooded ones. And so a lot of people want a full-blooded golden retriever, for example. There are golden retriever rescue organizations. So every pure breed out there, there's a rescue group for that breed trying to find homes for animals that have been discarded. They're full-blooded because people get a lab or a golden retriever puppy at Christmas and, oh no, you have to train them? That's shocking. And we'll talk about training too in a little bit. But so by mid-January, February, they've realized I basically have a toddler in dog form and I haven't worked with them at all and they ditch them. There's rescue is, it's very diverse. There's a lot of opportunities to help animals that need help.
Well, and I think if you're going to get a pet, and I've always had dogs for since I've been 18. I think I've had my own dog, but I mentioned the Daffod. One of our employees here walked by when he's our dog whisperer. We go to him with everything dog related, and I mentioned to Vanessa that you know my rescue is a 75 pound dog, and she's the sweetest thing in the world. But she was eating my remotes, and it was really aggravating me. You know, and to the point where I went on Amazon and bought four or five remotes and was still running out. And I was very frustrated. And what he taught me, and I would like the audience to understand this if you're pet owners, dogs generally don't have ill intent. They are very kind. And so she was chewing these remotes because they smelled like me and I was gone. And it was a way she could be close to me. But I didn't take it that way because I'm a stupid human. And I just thought, hey, you're wrecking my stuff. But if you take a minute and understand where they're coming from, I think you'll be much happier and give them a choice. They don't... dogs, I don't think, chew to be mean. I think it nerves. I'm sure.
They're bored.
Right, bored.
Here's a direct question, because I've asked it about our dogs. If you rescue a dog, ours were 4 weeks old when we rescued them, okay? Can they retain traumatic experiences that young that will stay with them? Or is that so young that they're just like any other dog?
I can't say that I'm knowledgeable on that, truly, but... And I think if you ask some experts, we've never been able to ask dogs that question. They can't answer that. And but you can see signs just like people. I think what's so beautiful about animals, though, is they're quicker to forgive and probably forget along with that, so much better than humans are. No way to prove that. But I do think there's a lot of gentleness to be seen, that they understand their past. And this is just me speculating. But... just from dogs I've known who've been rescued and come out of situations that were probably very troubling. Not any kind of trauma can be just really challenging to overcome. And that's where you really need to get into training and try to really establish that trust and that understanding of your individual animal. And there's a wealth of opportunities to find training everywhere, but specifically in East Texas. There's no excuse.
Oh, sure. I mean, even up here at, I forget what pet store it is on Broadway,
PetSmart.
Mm-hmm. They have a lady that's been training for years.
Well, since you mentioned that, their two trainers are also our therapet trainers. So,
you know, let me do my job for once here. This is about therapet. Okay, the show is about therapet. Therapet is a nonprofit. If you wouldn't mind, would you mind giving the URL out?
Yes, it's therapet.org. We're a 501c3 nonprofit. So every single aspect of our operations is donor funded, every penny. And we're celebrating our 30th year this year of being in existence. We started in 1994. We're not affiliated with any larger state or national organization. We strictly exist in East Texas and serve East Texas.
Oh, it was indigenous to East Texas.
We were created in 1994 right here. Some people say the term therapet is kind of like the Kleenex of tissues. Lot of people say therapet. It just happens to be our name, Therapet Animal Assisted Therapy.
Oh, that's what's great when you own the Kleenex box.
Yeah, you hear people say out there, therapets kind of generically. But yeah, we're just in East Texas.
Well, one way they can help is by donating.
Yes.
And we just gave out the URL for that. We'll give it out again in just a minute. But what other ways can people volunteer to help Therapet?
Well, we're volunteer-based. If we didn't have people like Vanessa and teams and volunteers without animals, we wouldn't exist. The animals are the heart of what we do. They're the ones that are out there making the connections with community members who are in dire need of that touch with an animal. So if teams like Vanessa and Ruby go away, it's the foundation of what we do.
Okay, so y'all are a team.
Yes.
Okay.
Personal pet of Vanessa.
Okay.
Yeah,
right. I take great care of her. So
yes, I do.
let's talk a little bit about, drill down a little bit with Therapet and the actual exercises of what you do. Mm-hmm. So you go to people that are either physically having problems, maybe emotionally having problems, and you go visit them. Does the dog stay? Do you stay with the dog? Do you just visit and then go?
So when me and Ruby work, we work together as a team. So she's never by herself. So I'm basically her handler. I mean, she is my personal pet, but she's kind of the tool. She's the one that provides the therapy. And so I'm basically her chauffeur. And we volunteered at several locations, in Compass Rehab. We work on the table. Occasionally, it's every Monday through Friday in the afternoon. There's at least a dog or two dogs that are working that table providing therapy. So the physical therapist, occupational therapist, speech therapist use the dogs as part of TheraPet and as part of their therapy with their patients. So when Ruby goes, she lays there on the table. I sit with her and I'm there to help, you know, provide some guidance or talk to the patients about Ruby, answer questions if they have curiosities. And she provides therapy. They pet her. They might use a brush to brush her, or they might clip little hair clips in her hair to work on fine motor skills. Or she's used as motivation. If someone is working on standing and they need to stand for 5 minutes, if they're standing there petting a dog and talking to me, then they forget how long they've been standing there. So a lot of times, you know, all of a sudden the therapist looks and it's like, okay, well, you've been standing for 10 minutes and the goal was 5 minutes, because they're distracted. They're not standing there thinking about, oh, my back hurts or my knee hurts, or, you know, I'm mad at my therapist for making me do this or whatever. So they're focused on the dog, you know, they're petting, they're talking, they're distracted. And Ruby just lays there and blissfully happy. She sleeps most of the time because she's so used to kind of just laying there and providing that therapy. So when we go to hospitals, we go into a room to visit with the patient. I'm with Ruby, of course. So there to answer any questions about TheraPet, or about Ruby, and just to visit with people and with patients and even with family that are visiting patients. Sometimes the family wants to see the dog more than the patients do, or maybe the patient's unable to interact with the dog for health reasons or medical reasons, but the family needs therapy. I mean, all of us at some point get stressed or upset, and dogs are a great pets in general are a great way to kind of relieve some of that stress and anxiety. And Ruby actually knows if someone's upset. One time my mother-in-law was in my kitchen crying, and Ruby came from, I don't even know where she was, but Ruby came running and came right to her side and was like, okay, I'm here. Pet me. You need to pet me. You need my
That's where my I was going to segue. I'm convinced at this point, I'm almost 60. So at this point, I'm at the age where I think I know what I know. And you're not going to convince me otherwise on many, many topics. I'm convinced dogs are hypersensitive to nonverbal communication. I had a situation a couple months ago where I was super stressed. And I was just sitting there on my couch just watching TV, just stressed. You know, everybody gets that. You're right. Every single person, that's the one commonality we have as humans, is we get stressed. And my older dog just came and laid, like, literally on top of me, just put herself right where my pain was, on my chest.
Right.
And it really made me think, does she know that's where I'm, quote-unquote, hurting?
You're definitely onto something. Of course you are, Lonnie. My goodness.
Because he knows everything.
Yes, you know it all, because you're 60, right? So there is a deep intuition with animals. And, you know, kind of along with what Vanessa was saying, they do, when they go into a hospital room, for example, sense that something's going on. I tell people, if we're at UT Health, Christus, Encompass Health, those are the hospitals that we serve regularly, we're seeing people on some of the worst days of their lives. Mm-hmm. We've had moments where we've gone into a patient room and, you know, the patient's actively dying. They're on their way out. And it's family there sitting vigil bedside just waiting to lose this person that means so much. And those are the moments where they're picking up on the need from the family members. The hospital staff benefit immensely from it. Any of them will tell you that. And there's a lot of science behind it.
I bet during COVID they were extremely, because the medical world was just extremely overworked.
Upside down. Yes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they sense what's needed. And there's a ton of science behind animal-assisted therapy and visitation. Within moments of touching an animal and just petting their fur, you have a lowering of your blood pressure. Your heart rate will calm. And that's what you're talking about. You were stressed. All of those things were factors while you're lying on the couch.
Yeah.
You think you're relaxing. I would challenge people, and I've tried to start doing this myself. It's very easy to be sitting at home trying to relax, but you're on your phone, aren't you? You're simultaneously watching TV. I've started trying to just put the phone down, not watch TV, and just pet my dogs. That's when I'm able to focus and my body really experiences that calming effect. The positive hormones increase, the negative decrease.
If I may, I would use the same example for the humans in your life. Sometimes it's good to put the phone, the TV away,
and interact with
your
each other,
significant other, and tell them how much you mean, they mean to you. And I guess right now, Ruby, what's interesting to me about how dogs think and work, I see you. She thought I was talking to her. But in my estimation, so she senses that we're okay. When no one in the room really needs anything. But it's interesting. Obviously, this is radio. You can't see this. But where Ruby chose to lay down was the entrance to the room between us and the outside.
Right.
So she's actually the gatekeeper right now.
Yes.
The passive gatekeeper. And I think that's what we're trying to talk about, that there's this sense that they all have that we're not, I can't wait until, I don't know if it'll be AI or what's going to allow us to go deeper into canine brains, because I would love to know how they think, because I would like to make their lives better, my dog's lives better. I would like to not get pissed off at them, you know, not bad, but you know what I mean. And so that's what I find fascinating. And the therapy dogs, you can just tell that she just wants to do what is needed, but she's comfortable with doing.
Right.
And so, let's see. Is a therapy animal the same as a service animal?
No, sir.
Okay.
The easiest, briefest differentiation of the two is that therapy animals like Ruby and the Therapets, they're trained to meet the needs of a multitude of people and demographics. They're supposed to be petted by the public and strangers, whereas your service animals are essentially fine-tuned machines to serve the needs of one individual. Those are your seizure alert, diabetic support, seeing eye dogs, you know, those, that kind of nature is true service. And when you encounter a service dog in the community, you are not supposed to interact with it. You're not supposed to pet a service dog. So very different in those two ways. They're
so hard.
They're
really hard because they're always well behaved. They're always clean, always well taken care of. And you want to do that, but we're not supposed to do that.
Not correct? Service animals. No, sir.
I found out a couple months ago, you actually write prescriptions for these things. My girlfriend's a licensed therapist, and she can write a prescription for a therapy dog.
Yeah,
not a service dog, but a therapy dog. But when it comes to a service dog, so they're trained for specific purposes, and that's why we don't want to interact with them, right?
Exactly.
They're on the job.
They're on the job pretty much all the time. So whereas Ruby's on the job when she's when we're volunteering for Therapet. So when she goes home, she's just a regular dog.
Does she change when she puts her little jacket on with her name on? Can you tell any difference?
You know, Ruby's a little different she's very different than my other Therapet, Rocky. Ruby is basically like this at home. So she's laying on the floor sleeping here. When I get her home and take the cape off, she's just going to go sleep somewhere else, either on the couch or in her dog bed or out in the sunshine. So she's always chill, whereas my dog, Rocky, when he's working, he knows he's working and he is well behaved and, you know, calm. But as soon as we're home, it's let's play Frisbee 24/7. He's an Australian cattle dog, so he's extremely active, a lot of energy. So he probably only sleeps 5 minutes of the day, whereas Ruby's probably only awake 5 minutes of the day. So very different. But both excellent Therapets. They have different preferences as where they like to work. But Rocky's definitely a different dog. Now, Ruby and Rocky both know if I put on my Therapet shirt, if I pull out blue leashes or blue capes, that one of them is going to get to go. And they both get very excited. So I have to make sure that I'm really ready to leave whenever I put this shirt on. I can't put this shirt on and then just, you know, fiddle fart around the house because they're both ready to go. And so it's really hard whenever I have to leave one of them at home because I can only work one at a time. But it's just how they're excited to work, but they like to be at home.
You mentioned you play Frisbee with your dog. So I had the Brittany I mentioned I had was a Frisbee dog. I had a Dalmatian that was a Frisbee dog. All of them developed hip problems.
Oh.
So I'm wondering, like, I'm at a couple things. One, when you play Frisbee with them, do you use a regular Frisbee or do you use one of those floppy Frisbees?
So what we have is, it's basically kind of a floppy Frisbee. It's made out of silicone. So it's not like a plastic hard Frisbee that you would throw with, like, your friends or anything like you'd use for disc golf.
They're going to keep catching it, but their mouth's going to bleed and
right.
It's going to hurt their mouth.
So he probably would catch a hard Frisbee, but I've just always purchased and had a dog appropriate Frisbee for him.
So would you say that's a good act? Because I've gotten gun shy of it because it's so hard to see them in later life struggle. And I don't know. Hip dysplasia is so common in canines now, not just purebreds. I mean, I don't know that I've seen an old dog without some sort of hip problems.
We haven't had any issues with Rocky. Now, Rocky's only 4 years old, so he's young. But he needs a lot of activity. And so, you know, I take him for a 3-mile walk every morning. We do other activities, and he gets to run and be a dog. But he really enjoys catching Frisbees. And so, I mean, I don't know.
I've been there.
Who knows if we'll have issues or not.
I think it's really about consistency and spending time with them and an activity they enjoy. I am not active, and thus my dogs are not either. And if I went and tried
a proud statement.
I own it. So if I went out and tried to, let's be honest, walk a mile and take them with me. They don't get to go on walks very often. My oldest would be sore. So that gung-ho, let's go do this wild, long activity today, you just need to have some awareness of the activity level and what your dog is used to as well.
Right. The dog whisperer told me when I was complaining about that to him, he's like, just don't throw it so far.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Or so high.
Yeah, don't make them run 300 yards. Make them run 30 or have them run 30. Okay. It says you need more animals in your program, so yes. How would someone become a therapet?
Yeah. We've got a couple of different class options. The official track requires that they get their CGC, which is Canine Good Citizen. That's an AKC standard. It teaches basic obedience, just ensures that your dog is a good citizen. So they have to have the CGC. There are a number of places in East Texas and Tyler specifically that you can get that. It's a good thing to do even if you're not planning to do therapet. Neither of my dogs are therapets. Both have their CGC. It's a good thing to do. So once they have their CGC, they can come in and take the skills class. That's when we start introducing therapy equipment, hospital equipment, the true skills they're going to need to serve all of the facilities we contract with. And then if they get done with skills, and I'll mention a lot of dogs have to take multiple rounds of the skills class. At the end of that, if they pass the skills checkoff, they go do a temperament test. If they pass that, they start their apprenticeship, and we're on the road to get it done. Now, probably what your listeners would be more qualified for at this point is we have a class called Therapet 101. It's for dogs 10 weeks old and up. Only requirement is that and that they're fully vaccinated. And it's just a fun class, no pressure. Starts back on January 8th. $10 or $25. It lasts for 6 weeks. And it also starts introducing therapy equipment and concepts at an early age. The goal is to get them through that early and kind of expose them to those stimuli, and then that they will circle through, get their CGC, come back, and do the skills class with us.
Let's give your website and URL out one more time. So, and by the way, when you hear this information, call and donate money, because that is what really helps.
Mm-hmm. So go ahead. Therapet.org. You can donate there. You can find out a lot about our process for training there. Our events are listed there as well. That's a great way to donate to us, is by just plugging into our big fundraisers every year. We have one coming up.
Perfect. What is the date on it?
It's October 26th. It's okay. Called Therapet Totally Unleashed. It's our 13th year to do it. It's a really fun evening. $150 for a ticket. It includes great food, bar service. We've got a silent auction that's going to be massive. Live auction with a lot of fun things. We'll fund the mission. You'll learn about what we do. And then just get to meet people, especially the therapets. A lot of the therapets will be that night as the VIPs of the evening to interact with people. So it's not a dog-friendly gala in that regard, except that the therapets themselves are there.
That's fantastic. Give the name of the event one more time.
Totally Unleashed. You can go to therapet.org, click on events, and you'll see the tab there for it.
Okay. You can donate there also. You
can donate there as well.
It's October 26th is the Totally Unleashed. Mm-hmm. And it, like everything else, it's at the Brookshire Center.
It is.
So you won't have a hard time finding it. I want to thank you guys so much for coming in. I look forward to this each time. In the future, I hope maybe to get more involved in TheraPet.
We'd love that. And just remember, we're only as good and healthy as the dog teams we have. And so because of that, we're constantly needing people to give it a shot and train with us. If you're sitting next to your couch potato dog and maybe you need to get off the couch too, come take a class. There's nothing to lose.
Thank you both so much for coming in, and I will see you guys next time on In Focus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, and we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.